Don't lose your finger, darling, I'm a good dear monitor. Lean back and stay a while, I'm a good dear monitor.
You're at home or on the road with the What's Happening sound for the weekend, Monitor 67. I'm Brad Crandall. A bit later this half hour, Al Capp recalls another funny moment during his recent visit with GIs in Southeast Asia. In 3 minutes, Van Johnson remembers the old glamour days of Hollywood and tells us why he thinks his life has been one long soap opera. Oh, speaking of glamour, remember this Christmas as every Christmas. Every woman alive wants Chanel No. 5. Spanky and our gang on Monitor. That sandy-haired, freckle-faced superstar, Van Johnson, is currently breaking up Chicago audiences in the comedy A Thousand Clowns. He plays the part of the bachelor uncle who's been left to rear a precocious nephew. Johnson, idol of the Bobby Sox set in 1940, and the star of some 90 motion pictures, has had more than his share of misfortune and ill health. He comments on that part of his life and recalls the good old days of Hollywood as he chats with Monitor reporter Jack Eigen in Chicago.
Van, when you went to the pictures, it was a real factory-type schedule, was it not, more or less, for you?
Oh, no. I think today is more of a factory. Mm-hmm. Then we had fun. There was glamour. There were exciting stars there, Jack. And even though we worked on Saturdays and many times Saturday nights into the hours, and many a time on that dull, those Dr. Kildare's I made, we were shooting on the back lot till 3 o'clock in the morning. But, no, it's a different breed of pictures and stars and studios today. There are no more big moguls, no more big heads of the studio, except Mr. Golden is still left and Mr. Zanuck. But, no, they were glamorous, exciting days. But I prefer today, Jack. I'm not one to moan about the good old days.
But what is a star today? A star today is as good as his television show. He's a hero for like 20 minutes. He's on Summer Lucky to be on for 3 years, like the Man from U.N.C.L.E. That was the big thing, and it goes off.
No,
but
a star never
went off. He was idle for a couple of seasons, or he waited for the right picture. You never heard of a star going off pictures?
Well, those were the days of the long-term contracts, Jack, and we were always on a picture or on a vacation. We were paid anyway. You always had those 50-week contracts. But those long-term deals are no more. They just don't have them anymore, and it's unfortunate for the younger kids coming up today, I think, because those were the ones, that was how we were all groomed. They threw me into pictures right away. My second job was with Gable and Tracy and Bob Taylor, Lionel Barrymore, wonderful people like that, and we learned from people like that and got paid. And the studios used to have all kinds of wonderful lessons and teachers that we could utilize. The speech teachers and singing teachers, dancing teachers. There was a gymnasium to work out in all the time. They took care of you. They babied you.
Van Johnson, if you had not become a movie actor, or if you had not been in show business, what do you think you would have been?
I would have liked to have been a writer, I think, Jack, because you can take that typewriter anywhere in the world and create, and it's an isolated kind of a life, and it's a disciplined again kind of a life. And I've always had a yen to be able to write. Not that great book, I don't mean that, but just to be able to write.
People know Van Johnson as a glamour fella, an actor who has done good pictures. I don't think you've ever been a flop, but if they were to say to you, Van Johnson, what is the most dramatic thing that ever happened in your life? Where is the drama in your life? What would you tell them, Van?
Well, my life has been kind of like a soap opera, Jack. It wasn't easy getting there. It isn't for any actor or star, I don't think. But every year something seems to happen to me. That my finger was chopped off in London when I was doing Music Man. That was a cute little thing for a while.
Chopped off?
Yeah, in the scenery. Uh-huh. I forgot. I should have zigged when I zagged.
Uh-huh. You had cancer?
Cancer twice, and pulled through. So far, so good. Always, every year, something happened. Then I was in that accident in the middle of a guy named Joe, and I got the plate in the head. The whole top of the head was off.
You have the plate in the head now?
Yeah, right there. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So every year, I'm very accident-prone, Jack. So I can't wait to get up tomorrow to see what's going to happen to me.
Well, I don't think
I don't worry about it.
You've had it now. I think we're on this.
The cycle is changing?
It's got to. I mean, how many things can you have? You've had cancer, a plate in your head, a broken... I mean, there's nothing else.
I'm very happy. I couldn't ask for more.
I have a feeling you're going to have to look for a long time before you find a better living definition of that phrase, the eternal optimist, than you do in Van Johnson. Monitor Music next, and a new one from Jack Jones.
Dio, come with me, amo. I still can hear her sing. Oh, God, how much I love you. Yet I walked away. The wind began to blow, and all the leaves went flying. She stood there in the night and tried to keep from crying. What could I have told her? What could I say or do? When love has lost its meaning, it's over, it's through. And so I hurried on, for someone new was waiting. Was long ago. Oh, God, how much I love you. It runs through my head. I know it's much too late, but I go right on praying.
A merry memo. Remember, this Christmas, as every Christmas, every woman alive wants Chanel No. 5. A song by Demita Jo just 1 minute from now, here on the Monitor Beacon.
Say, Mom, it's eating time again, but why bother preparing the food? Make eating time a pleasure time. Go to Wetson's Hamburger Drive-In Restaurants in Flushing, New York, on Northern Boulevard, between 194th and 195th Street. Money is not everything when it comes to adopting a child. For a 2-year-old, the warmth, the love, the tender care of a mother and a father buy the security he needs. Whatever your income, you can afford adoption. For prompt, confidential information about a Negro or an interracial child, call Trafalgar 6-3050. Now, and ask for Mrs. Doris McKelvey, Trafalgar 6-3050, and you can call right now.
Peter Finch and Stanley Holloway star in the New York television premiere of No Love for Johnny, tonight at 11:30.
A man with great political aspirations finds that love and politics don't mix. Watch No Love for Johnny tonight at 11:30 on Channel 4. The conversation station, WNBC, New York.
It's now 20 minutes after the hour, and you're back with Monitor and me, Brad Crandall. Just as we promised, here's one of the latest numbers by Miss Demita Jo.
Walk away, can't you tell that it's memory blowing? Now you've turned boy loose, and you have more excuses to stay. Walk away, walk away. It's a great little dream you were going, but the dreams of the night cannot. It was glowing. It was mindless and heedless and words that are needless to say. Only where was it going? Only one little slip and it's showing.
Away. Monitor's expert on nothing, with opinions on everything, is Al Capp, creator of Lil Abner. Al has just returned from a visit with American soldiers in hospitals in Southeast Asia, and he takes a moment to point out one of the genuinely funny moments enjoyed at the expense of his traveling companion, columnist Art Buchwald. Here is Al Capp.
When Art Buchwald and I went to visit GI hospitals in Southeast Asia a few weeks ago, we realized we had a problem the instant we stepped off our plane. All the brass that greeted us, from major generals to second lieutenants, knew and revered Art as the modern Will Rogers, but to their 20-year-old GI drivers, he was merely another little, chunky little civilian smoking a cigar. I try to comfort my chunky little cigar-smoking companion by explaining that the average red-blooded American boy of 20 hadn't quite graduated from my sort of comics to his sort of political comment, but by the time they'd reached the age of their officers, he'd be their idol. Well, Buchwald said he couldn't wait for GIs to grow mature enough to idolize him. There are hundreds of them waiting in those wards who didn't know the difference between a Buchwald and a bookend, and would I precede them, do my act first, and then warm them up for him? Well, I tried to warm them up by telling them that Art Buchwald was the modern Will Rogers, but then they said, Will who? And I knew I was on the wrong track, and so I tried another approach. I noticed that most of them had that copy of Newsweek with Jane Fonda on the cover with her bottom totally uncovered, and so I said that Jane Fonda was originally scheduled to make the tour with me, and that, in fact, she'd arrived in Washington with three trunkloads of micro miniskirts when suddenly Buchwald intervened. I said he'd rush to USO headquarters and explain to them that if Jane Fonda came along with me to visit them, they'd all have restless nights. And so, for the good of the service, he, Buchwald, had offered to come instead. And now, I said, when Art Buchwald comes in, I want you to let him know how you appreciate what he's done for you as much as I appreciate what he did for me. And when Art came in, they did. This is Al Capp from Monitor, and I really must confess that Art cooked up that whole Jane Fonda introduction for me.
Our talking cartoonist, Al Capp, is a regular feature every weekend on Monitor. That's the sound of the Bob Crew generation and Birds of Britain. Be an early bird. Remember this Christmas, as every Christmas, every woman alive wants Chanel No. 5. Monitor, reaching all America on NBC Radio every weekend. Serving Flint, Michigan, and the entire Saginaw Valley is WFDF. Right now, time for stations to identify themselves right across the country. After which, ready or not, we're going to jump right back. This is Brad Crandall.
Hi, this is Bill Cullen, emphasis time off. Join me weekdays on NBC Radio.
Let's face it, I'm hung up on you. Like I think you're real groovy. Just give me the word, and for you, I'll do way out things like get a haircut, put a crease in my dungarees, and fix it so that only Chateau Martin wine flows from every faucet in my path.
I'll bet you hand this wine to all the girls.
Would you believe 7 out of 10?
The next time you hand a girl a wine, make it Chateau Martin Vermouth, the magnificent mixer seasoned with 30 rare imported herbs and mellowed to the peak of perfection in 100-year-old oak casks. Chateau Martin Vermouth, sweet or extra dry, mixes to suit your every mood. Comes on real smooth, served straight, or on the rocks for a special treat. The next time you hand a girl a wine, make it Chateau Martin Vermouth, and she'll love it.
Chateau Martin Wines, New York.
Had any lately?
It's 43 degrees and cloudy in Midtown Manhattan. The Conversation Station, WNBC, New York.
You're listening to Monitor 67, at home or while traveling, the best all-round sound every weekend, everywhere. I'm Brad Crandall. Later this half hour, news, views, and results from the world of auto racing, sport of speed. In 3 minutes, meet a millionaire who's a dropout from both high school and college, and who started on the road to fame and fortune by selling papers when he was 6. First, the misty-voiced Dean Martin.
In the misty moonlight, by the flickering firelight, any place is all right, long as I'm with you. In a faraway land, on the tropic seaside, if your hand's in my hand, I won't be blue.
Every weekend, Monitor invites you to meet a millionaire. This week, our self-made man is a millionaire who dropped out of both high school and college. Monitor reporter Candy Jones has all the details.
W. Clement Stone is the millionaire president of Combined Insurance Company of America, the First National Casualty Company, and Hearthstone Insurance Company. And he does ever so many things. In fact, he publishes and edits Success Unlimited magazine, and he is very well qualified to write on the subject of success, as he did in his widely read book, The Success System That Never Fails. W. Clement Stone sold his very first life insurance policy at age 16, and by 20, he had his own insurance agency. Mr. Stone is president of Chicago Boys Club, and I would say he is the personification of America's self-made man. W. Clement Stone, how old were you when you first started to work?
At the age of 6, selling newspapers on the south side of Chicago, 31st and Cottage Grove. The Chicago south side comprises persons who are not wealthy. As a matter of fact, they're in the poorer class.
Your mother was terribly disturbed about a bad habit you had, and I read this in your book, The Success System That Never Fails. Would you describe it?
Yes. I started smoking at a very early age. I'd say along about 7. And if I didn't have tobacco, I would roll up some coffee and smoke that.
So you would grind your own.
Right, and roll your own.
And what was the taste sensation of a homemade, home-rolled coffee cigarette?
Well, actually, it was a mental situation. I think it was an instance where you wanted to shock the adults, you know. I wouldn't be surprised. That's what's wrong with a lot of our kids today. They do a lot of things only because they just want to be different and be outstanding in some way that's different than the other kids.
Besides your loving mother, who else helped you to grow into such an ambitious young fellow?
Well, I would say that I was very fortunate because my mother realized that as a widow and working, that I had some problems. The one thing I always did at night would tell my mother the good things and the bad things, and we'd kneel down and pray together. And she was smart enough to realize that she had a problem. And so she sent me to a very fine parochial school. And I would say that the priest at that school motivated me to strive to become a better person. Now, as regards business, I would say that I've been most fortunate because going through high school, I worked, of course, but going through high school, I ran across a book called The Power of Will, and that stimulated my imagination as the power of the human mind, my mind or your mind. And then later in life, along about 37, I ran across Napoleon Hill's great book, Think and Grow Rich. And the philosophy so agreed with my own in so many respects that I started giving the book to my salesman. I had an insurance agency, and things began to happen. Since then, I and my foundation have given away as many as 1 million books or inspirational pamphlets throughout the world in a single year. The power of a self-help book is fantastic. And in my own case, why we make super salesmen out of ordinary salesmen by motivating them to read self-help books whereby they can develop and use the power within.
What would you say had been your inspiration to thought for becoming a millionaire, Mr. Stone?
Well, as a boy, my mother felt it was wholesome to send me out in the country in the summer. And I spent the summer, as a rule, at Mrs. Green's resort, which was a glorified boarding house and a farm. Mm-hmm. And one day I went up in the attic, and I ran across about 50 or 52 of Horatio Alger books. And that got me thinking. I could picture myself that, look, if the hero could do it, there's no reason why I couldn't do it. And later in life, when I realized the power of the human mind, that regardless of race, color, creed, or any other drawbacks, provided you had a so-called normal mind in the broadest of sense, that in this great country of ours, anyone, absolutely anyone, even on a small salary, can acquire wealth. And I've proved it by motivating many persons on small salaries as well as medium salaries to acquire great wealth under our American system.
What's the most expensive thing you've ever given yourself, not associated with your businesses?
Well, I would say I have very few luxuries, but when I realized our problem over in Cuba, we had our Castro problem, I purchased the equivalent of 3 warehouses of Caravana cigars, and that is indeed a luxury.
Well, that's a far cry from South American coffee beans to pure Cuban cigars. We've been speaking with a self-made millionaire, W. Clement Stone, author of The Success System That Never Fails and president of the Combined Insurance Company of America, who has proved that anyone can think his way to success. This is Candy Jones, about to do a lot of thinking for Monitor.
A group called The Free Design now and their unsolicited testimonial to kites.
Tune to Monitor. Monitor continuing at 12 minutes before the hour. Now, I know we're a little late to march around the breakfast table, but, well, you might pull over and march around the car, or march to the mailbox and mail some cards or gifts. It's your choice, but whatever, keep in step with the Baltimore and Ohio Marching Band.
Thank you. ever happened to you?
This way, please.
You're invited to the boss's house, and a maid ushers you into the living room, and she says...
Mr. Phillips will be down in just a minute.
Well, you're a little nervous, so you light up your cigarette. You take a puff. And now you look for an ashtray for the match. No ashtray. So, into your pocket, right? Okay, now you have an ash on your cigarette. What do? You tap it off into your other hand, and you have this awful helpless feeling. And now, into your pocket. And you think, I gotta get rid of this butt. So you grind it out on the sole of your shoe. And you're standing there like a nut, perspiring with this thing in your hand. So you think you'll have to get the suit cleaned anyway.
Are there any other
reasons not to smoke cigarettes?
Ask your American Cancer Society.
Andy Williams now, combining kisses and wine.
I got me a girl and I kissed her and then I said, oh, Lord, I kissed her again. She had kisses sweeter than wine. She had kisses sweeter than wine. Well, I asked to marry Andy, my sweet wife. We would be so happy the rest of our life. I begged and I pleaded like a natural man.
Remember, this Christmas, as every Christmas, every woman alive wants Chanel No. 5. Next on Monitor, Sport of Speed, featuring Chris Economaki, with news, views, and results from the world of auto racing, one of America's biggest spectator sports. Here's Chris.
With major racing activity for the year over with in this country, attention now turns to the new Freeport-Lucaya circuit on the island of Grand Bahama. The inaugural competition on this two-mile layout gets underway next Sunday with a 100-mile contest for Formula V cars. The following Sunday, December 17th, the International Grand Prix will be held, mixing both 1192 and 1500cc Volkswagen engine cars. The $25,000 in prize money, put up by organizer Red Kreis, has attracted a spectacular field, including four national champions, our own A.J. Foyt, Belgium's Jackie Ix, Jean-Pierre Beltoise of France, and Austria's Jochen Rindt, last year's big Formula V winner in the Bahamas. Stock car driver Cale Yarborough can thank safety-minded Ford performance officials for escaping serious injury in a test crash this week. The burly South Carolina driver was testing tires at the Riverside Raceway in California as a preliminary to the Motor Trend 500 there next month when he missed a shift and slammed into a steel-plated wall at full tilt. His Wood Brothers Ford Fairlane was demolished, but Cale was only bruised. Reason? Ford officials insisted that the test runs be conducted with the driver's side window up rather than down. Yarborough's helmet banged the glass rather than the high wall of Riverside's infamous Turn 9, a right-hander. Yarborough is now at home in Carolina, thanking his lucky stars that things went the way they did. Prior to the crash, both Cale and Parnelli Jones in another Ford Fairlane lowered Dick Hutcherson's old track mark, much to the delight of Firestone, on whose behalf the tests were conducted. The Daytona International Speedway, about to embark on its 10th season, will pay its first dividend, as has been announced by President Bill France. Over $50,000 will go to holders of the nearly 850,000 shares at the rate of 6 cents per share. Daytona opens the 68th season with the running of the 24-hour Daytona Continental February 3rd and 4th, which will serve as the premiere of the new turbine-engined Howmet sports prototype car. And the most famous turbine of them all, the STP Paxton Turbo car, was worked out at Indianapolis this week and with disappointing results, according to owner Andy Granatelli. With former world champion Jim Clark at the wheel, the car was adjusted to limit air intake to next year's USAC rules, and top speed was only 161 miles an hour, not enough to qualify for the race if it were allowed. Granatelli said the car produced only 480 horsepower compared with 550 in the May 30th 500 miler, which it almost won. Granatelli suggested that turbines be allowed in next year's 500 without having to qualify. This is Chris Economaki for Monitor Sports.
Thank you, Chris. Sport of Speed, featuring Chris Economaki, America's foremost authority on auto racing, is presented every Saturday and Sunday, coast to coast, on NBC Monitor. Montenegro's orchestra playing for a few dollars more. Another brief word to the wise. Remember, this Christmas, as every Christmas, every woman alive wants Chanel No. 5. Keep up with all the late-breaking news around the nation and the world. NBC Monitor News on the Hour is next. This is Brad Crandall.
Americans are really concerned about water pollution today.
It's filthy and it's dirty, and when the water is full of little floating pieces of junk as it is here, which is like thick soup.
It really is all saturated at times with chicken grease and feathers and innards.
We've got ourselves in a stinking mess where clean rivers are concerned. It's high time we clean it up.
America can halt pollution. Right, clean water, Washington, D.C.
Well, you stumped me, so I must now ask you a question to see if I can stump you.
That's how Bill Mazur plays Challenge Round, Monday through Friday evenings at 6:35. Listen and find out how you can be a WNBC winner.
Ham and cheese comes on rise, so does Lee Leonard's humor. Afternoons at 1 on the Conversation Station, WNBC New York. The time now, 9 p.m.